Hey guys, welcome to Unleashed, and this is the podcast for men who refuse to live tame. Anyhow, I'm your host, Brent Henderson, and I am joined today by producer Eric Foley. Say hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
And today, hey, we're going to go primal today. This is going to be fun. We're going to go into the wilds and figure out what the toughest animals on the planet can teach us about, you know, survival, spiritual survival, all the above kind of a thing. So, because whether you know it or not, you, my friends, are being hunted. Isn't that a pleasant thought?
Oh, yeah.
But anyhow, be sure to subscribe, give us a like on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to support this ministry, which is primarily to men, you can go to Unleashed Men. Figure that out, unleashed.men, and click on the donate tab. You'll see it's in the drop-down menu. You know, I had a woman ask me the other day if there are many men donating to this ministry. It kind of threw me off for a second. I said, you know, to be honest, no, there really aren't. I said, we haven't really pushed that, you know, on the podcast, maybe only a couple of times if I ever even brought it up. But it really is. It's a great need. So I just want to challenge you to pray about, you know, this ministry to help us grow and reach men for Christ. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have some guests on that you have heard from them before. You know, one of them is I do a lot of my adventuring out west with. The other one, I'm writing the new book, Unleashed, and we will keep you posted about that. But I'm not going to miss a single week on here, you know, no matter whether the weather or the circumstance. You know, I even made the ER release me one time when they wanted to keep me overnight for observation. But I convinced them, you know, I just kind of did this little twisting of their arm that the podcast meant, that was back in July, that this meant more to me than bad hospital food having a catheter inserted.
That's a true story. Yeah. That is a true story.
It is. It was what was actually during the Trump assassination.
Yeah.
That was when it happened. Mm-hmm. They had me in the hospital, and I said, no, I got to get out and get this podcast out there. Anyhow, but really, you have no idea what even like $10 a month would mean, you know, to grow what we are trying to do here. So if the Holy Spirit starts tapping you on the shoulder, again, please go to unleashed.men and click on the About button, and then just click on Donate. It really would mean a lot. But anyhow, so Eric, you messaged me a couple of days ago, and you said you were digging into something that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
And you said you wanted to know, like, you were, like looking at the most dangerous predators, like lions, tigers, and bears, and you were kind of wanting to know.
Yeah, well, this all started as I was just going through a Reddit thread, and I don't know why, but guys seem to like to talk about this, so I find it interesting. I'm like, I bet at least some of the guys would be interested. So I started out like, okay, what would win a fight between, like, a grizzly bear and a lion? Oh, the lights. You seen that?
I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
The nuclear bomb didn't just go off. Everything went down for a second. I mean, if I was scrolling on YouTube, I would, like, if I came across something that would say, you know, who would win between a lion and a grizzly or whatever, I would probably, like, as long as, you know, my kids weren't in the room or something, I'd be like, dude, I'm watching this.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Man, so, and I can kind of shorten this up. Basically, the grizzly bear was the most dominant with everything I put it with. So grizzly versus lion, grizzly versus tiger, grizzly versus gorilla.
Wow, yeah. Those silverbacks are spooky.
But the grizzly, man, still came in on top. The only one that I started adding polar bear, and it said the polar bear would win like 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I don't know. You told me that, and I was playing around with this this morning. I was kind of messing with it because you said, man, let's do a podcast on this. And I was like, why not? This would be fun.
Yeah. Man, they were saying if it was in the water, it would be 100% of the time for the polar bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where they live. Yeah, no kidding.
The polar bear has like an extra, they have extra long claws, and their fat layers are thicker, so they're more difficult to damage, and they're larger. They're heavier. They're bigger.
Yeah, if you go to the Anchorage airport when you land, you can go downstairs, and they have a you know, a full model, I mean real, of a grizz standing up and a polar bear standing up. It's spooky how tall.
They're humongous.
Oh, my word.
Unbelievable.
You know, I don't know. I was looking, because I get both. I'll look at the grizzly sometimes, and I say, well, because they're more experienced and there's more of them per square mile, they have to learn, excuse me, to fight more, and I don't know. I have to dig into that one a little bit deeper. I do know grizzlies are really spooky.
Yeah. So, man, trying to go back into these notes. Finally, I got it down to, okay, what would be the most undefeatable animal on land? And the elephant. Everything oh, yeah. correct. There's nothing could defeat an elephant. Because of their weight, the thickness of the skin, the trunk. So, like, gorilla, lion, you know, tiger, bear, nothing could take down an elephant. Now, they did say hippopotamuses kill more people than elephants.
And it's the same thing, like, with moose up in Alaska. You would think it was brown bears, but it isn't.
It's moose.
Yeah.
Meese.
But that's true. When you get over there, and hippopotamus, I don't know why they didn't make the big five. Because let's say you've got the rhino, you've got the lion, you've got the Cape buffalo, you've got the elephant, and you've got the leopard, but hippo didn't make it, and they're spooky.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, I forget how many it said. I don't know, 500 people a year the hippo kills, and like the elephant kills like three or something.
You ever seen a video where a croc swims into a bunch of hippos, and the hippos just, like it's a wafer, like it's a candy. They just pick it up and just chomp it.
It's insanity. But the animal that kills the most people every year, the information I found was around 700,000 people a year, is the mosquito.
I've got that in the notes that I've got where we're headed with this, which is really interesting. I want to kind of take this and break this down a little bit. So let's kind of take some of these, you know, these animals and kind of pair them up. That's kind of what I've got here. And I threw you some notes. You can see it here. If there's anything you see on there, you jump
Wolverine,
in.
Wolverine, honey badger.
Yeah. So let's just kind of break this down, like with tiger versus lion, everything that I kind of researched, tigers are bigger. I mean, they are. I didn't realize how big they are. They're pretty solitary, but they're very aggressive. And so whenever I had read anything, they said usually a tiger, which was surprising because a full grown male lion can get up to like 600 pounds. Those are huge cats. Brown bear versus a tiger. Brown bears have the size and they have more endurance. And so they also fight more often, and they just win with sheer power. If you remember that one podcast where I talked about the bear cabin, and that brown bear tore out the entire back of that small 8x10, 3/4-inch plywood cabin to try to get to the moose meat that was inside. That was pretty crazy, but they're tanks. When you think about you've got a 1,000-pound freight train with massive, you know, four and a half, five-inch claws and an incredibly thick hide. And they're just nothing but brute force. I mean, you've probably seen brown bears fighting before. Like, you've watched the videos of that? Like,
it's scary.
There's one out there where this one brown bear has got, like, in his hind quarter, there's like about a foot and a half gash where it's just kind of hanging off of him, and he just keeps right on fighting. Ooh, spooky. You know, polar bears, you know, you and I were looking up that, you know, obviously polar bears are bigger. And I don't know. I was reading, you know, where grizzlies are more experienced and more aggressive, but I don't know. I want to research that one a little bit more because I know that polar bears, you know, being pure meat eaters, I don't know. I'm going to have to look that one up a little bit. I know this.
It did say that the brown bears fight, or they're better trained, I guess. You know, the polar bear, it's eating seals and, you know, penguins or whatever, but
right. Something that's not really biting them back.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, I guess if I was thinking about it, it's like, to me, it's like the difference between a good street fighter and a professional in MMA. And I'll take the MMA fighter any day of the week. You give me the guy with the scars over the guys with the size. Experience.
And we saw that. Remember Kimbo Slice? He was like the backyard brawler. And then he did his little, and it didn't pan out for him. But yeah.
You know, he did get some MMA training finally because his ground game was terrible. It was either he was going to hit you and take you down, or he was going to get twisted and get choked out, rear naked choke or something. But he got better. But yeah, and then he's gone. He passed away. How many years ago now?
Man, I don't even know. I didn't know he was even gone, so.
But then you've got that, like the guy, remember the guy in high school that was like small, but he wouldn't back down from anybody? That's the honey badger. And I stepped in a hole with Roger, which we'll have on here in a few weeks again, my buddy that I go elk hunting with. He and I, we were out in Colorado, and I was kind of going through this little area where there was kind of a tree had fallen, and I stepped in a honey badger hole. And I said, dude, look at this. He came over and he goes, man, you are lucky he wasn't in there. But these things, I mean, honey badgers are immune to venom. Well, actually, it was a badger. I'm not sure if it was a honey badger. I'm trying to think what they call the ones out west. There's a difference. But there's, I mean, they will attack in Africa. They've got them there. They'll attack lions. They'll go after cobras. Like they don't even care because, again, they're immune to venom.
Are they the ones that get a buzz on the venom?
I don't know.
There's one of them that will get a little bit of a buzz on it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'll have to look that up. But this one, I think the honey badgers, he's one of my favorites because he didn't care who you are. And, you know, spiritually, I was thinking about, you know, that's the kind of man that hell fears, right? It's the one that doesn't quit, you know, when he's bleeding. It reminds me of that Jesse Ventura line from Predator when he says, "I ain't got time to bleed.
I ain't got time to bleed."
Well, that's the honey badger. And that's what I think spiritual toughness is like. You know what? You can do anything to me. It just kind of gives a whole new thing to when Paul says, you know, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's like, really? Yeah, it's like the more you go after somebody, the bigger that whatever that is inside. I always talk about, you know, Christ in me, the bigger the trial, the more dangerous it is. Like Paul always talks about, you know, his grace is sufficient. But anyhow, Wolverine. These things, you know, I did a podcast. That was the Gus. Remember that, the trapper?
Yes.
And he got attacked by that Wolverine. And this thing, when it comes after him, you know, he was tucked up under a rock, it was like a thing protruding out from the hillside during a snowstorm. And this one Wolverine drops down because he had some ptarmigan laying by his feet that he had shot. And this thing doesn't know that Gus is there, and Gus doesn't know that this thing is there. And it drops down and Gus kicks it and it's game on. I mean, this Wolverine tears him to pieces. You can go back. I can't remember what... I think it was maybe just Gus the Trapper. I'll have to go back and see which episode that was.
Yeah.
But those, they don't quit. I mean, they'll fight wolves. They'll fight cougars. They'll you know, even with a brown bear, they don't usually back down from that. They got a huge bite force, too. And it's not about the size of the warrior, right? It's like it's what was in him. But coming back to what you said, the very thing that I read, it was like, well, you know, like elephant, but what is it that kills the most people every year? And you nailed it. It was the mosquito.
Mosquitoes.
They are the deadliest creature by annual deaths. They're small and they are incredibly silent unless you get one like right on your ear, and they are infectious. I hate them. When I get bit up, like when I get bit, I just said to Emma on the way home from school today, I said, I am so looking forward to summer, but you know what I'm not looking for? And she looked at me, she goes, mosquitoes? I said, yeah, I hate them.
Yeah, man. Kimbo Slice died June 3rd, 2016.
Wow, it's been, what is that, 9 years ago already?
Yeah. Man, he was only 42. So
he's lucky he made it that far with everything he was in.
Yeah, man. So you guys want to look up some old kind of backyard brawls that he started on just YouTube.
You know, you think about fighters pound for pound. You know, when I was growing up, Roberto Duran, he was huge. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard, when they had the big one, the No Mas, where he finally put his hands up and said no more. But he and Sugar Ray had some great battles together. But, you know, sometimes when you think about fighters or predators, it's not the size, you know, who's the biggest, or, you know, it's sometimes it's just the dog in the fight. I was watching a video my friend had shot. I think it was, who was it that, from Woodwise Game Calls. This is, I'm kind of, Jerry, I'm trying to think of his last name all of a sudden. It slipped my mind. But he had a pen and he had raised deer in there. And they were talking about, you know, the difference between, you know, the older bucks, the younger bucks, bigger bucks, you know, which ones are the most dominant. And he said, I'm going to show you something. And he put corn and he put two of his bucks in this pen. And there was a big 10 point and there was a small six. And that small six kicked that 10 points buck all over the place. Literally, I said buck instead of butt. And he did. I mean, he just because it was the dog in the fight. And I think that's something, kind of turning a corner here just a little bit. When you think about those kind of things, you know, like when we face and we're in the woods, you're having to look over your shoulder, you know, everything wants to stick you or kill you in Africa or brown bears in Alaska or whatever. But we have spiritual predators, and that's kind of where I wanted to go with this today. You know, you go back to 1 Peter 5:8, and I'll bet most of you know this verse. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And the devil doesn't need to overpower you. He just needs to catch you unaware. Like when I stepped in that badger hole, right? I didn't even see it coming. And if you're not training, if you're not grounded, the enemy will devour you. And some of the things that I was just kind of putting a few notes down, you know, let's look at some of the things in which way that they might come after you, like lust. What does the enemy love to do? Well, he likes, you know, whispers like comfort. That's what he says in our ear. I want to make things comfortable for you. Because the moment that it feels good in a twisted way, that's when he's got you. You know, and it those kind of things, when we get too comfortable, it usually ends in isolation. And that's where you are vulnerable. And it steals your purpose. Lust, I mean, when you start going after something else, your eyes get fixated in a different place from where you're supposed to be. And it's like, you know, driving down the road, taking your eyes off the road, looking at your phone or something, and the next thing you know, you're out in a field. Lust can sidetrack us. You know, what about the predator when you think about shame? And, you know, shame, it's not a voice. It's like a weight on your identity. It makes you think that you're beyond redemption, you know, which is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And that one takes a lot of men down. You know, the past, we regret and we forget that when Jesus died on the cross and he says it is finished, you know, for the believer, that was it. You know, he took all of our sins, but the enemy doesn't want you to remember that, doesn't want you to believe that. Well, it's too good to be true. Wow. Yeah, that's what one of the things the enemy, but it is true. He took all of our sins. Comfort is seductive, but here's the thing about comfort. It makes you soft. It will kill your purpose slowly. You know, it tries to tame your masculinity. And I love that quote. It's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And there's another quote that I love. It's hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. And that's what happens when we get too comfortable. We literally get soft. We become too weak. So the challenge, you know, is to stay sharp. And the gift is when we do come up against hard times, because it literally is like it's sharpening our sword again. It's making us look over our shoulder, be prepared. Pride. What about that one? You know, pride's a big one. Pride, it makes you kind of a solo target. You know, you think you're like untouchable, right? Until you're taken down. And that's, you know, that's how hyenas can trick a lion. You know, they get that lion alone. You know, you get that massive lion that a hyena could never take on. But what he does is that they'll have a kill and the lion will come in and try to take it over. And the next thing you know, here comes another 15 or 20 hyenas. You know, they surround him with the whole pack, or the cackle, I think is what they call it. And it's the lion's pride that makes him a target for weaker predators. And we can learn, from hyenas, and you know, by not trying to do life alone. I can be so guilty of that. You know, I've got my band of brothers, you know, around the country, and when I kind of start getting quiet, I don't even realize I'm kind of trying to go alone on certain things. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to go. We have to learn how to be able to live with our brothers, to be able to be totally honest with them, so that they know, hey, when you're getting quiet on me, what's up? You know, I've got some other buddies too. I know that if I haven't heard from them, they're struggling with something, and they need some help from their brothers. But you know, becoming spiritually dangerous, I mean, you want to be the kind of man that the enemy fears. And if you want to be that kind of man, then you have to pick up your weapons. You have to know the truth. You know, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word is your sword. No, you don't just wear it concealed like a handgun. You have to be trained and know when and how to use it. You have to fight in brotherhood. Proverbs 27:17, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, lone wolves, you know, they get picked off. They're the ones that get isolated, and that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. So if that's you, I just really want to encourage you to stay more in more communication with your buddies. We have to learn how to pray like warriors. You know, warriors train for battle, right? And they learn that weapon inside and out, whether it's a 338 Win Mag or whether it's a 70-pound bow, and everything you have to learn, you have to know how to use those weapons, and prayer is the greatest weapon that we have. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that your prayers are not passive. They are weapons. And one of the greatest weapon that we have is understanding our identity in Christ. And I talk about that almost every single week. You know, we're not that far off from the 100th episode on here. And I'll bet 90%, if not more, of the episodes somewhere in there, I'm always going to talk about identity. We have to walk in that identity. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are chosen, that you are bought with blood. You don't live like prey. You know, there's a saying, you know, in hunting that sometimes when I'm teaching young kids about, you know, what's a predator and what's a game animal, there's a saying, eyes on the side, made to hide. Eyes in the front, made to hunt. You know, men who know God keep their eyes peeled for where the enemy is silently stalking. Then they go after him with the full force of Christ in them. Dangerous men live unleashed, and it is all about identity. I say this every time I do a men's conference. So guys, there's three things I want you to remember. Identity, identity, and identity. That weapon that you have, Christ in you, is the greatest thing you will ever have. That's like when you think about the elephant, you know, that there's no big game animal that can take him down. But anyhow, you know, as I kind of start moving toward the end on this podcast, I think we all love, you know, seeing like what's the biggest, baddest, king of the hill kind of an animal. And, you know, I think many of us, we've had wounds in our lives where we don't necessarily feel like that. Maybe like me, I was the little kid that was always picked on. And it was when I got older, I realized that my worth and value wasn't coming from, you know, and I thought it did, you know, how well I could fight or how tough I was or how much money or whatever the things were. But it came back down to understanding that the fight that was within me, the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And I had to learn that with Christ being in me, I will have everything I will ever need. Because wisdom, when you think about it, when I'm talking about being in Africa or Alaska, I say, you know, you can make one mistake, but the second one's going to kill you. It's like on the count of one, things can go bad. And you have to know what to do and you have to be ready. And this was maybe just a couple of hours ago. I was kind of, I was eating my lunch and I was scrolling a few videos on YouTube. And I saw there was an 11-year-old golden retriever. Now, this was up in Sitka, Alaska. And the garage door was open in their home. It was evening. I don't know what time, whether it was 2 a.m. or whatever it was, but it was dark. And this was the family's home, and this was their pet dog, an 11-year-old golden retriever. They don't usually live much more than 12, 13 years old. A lot of them get hip issues. But this dog loved its owners, and there was no fear in this dog. And this, I mean, the dog probably outweighs this golden retriever 8-1. You know, you probably got 900,000-pound brown bear or grizzly that was coming in here. But the dog, he had a purpose, and that purpose was to protect his family. You know your dog. If they love you no matter what, even if that dog was hurt, he is still going to do everything he can because he loves you. And we can walk with that same fearlessness when we live out of our one true identity in Christ. And here's the thing. The enemy fears Christ in you. Remember that. You know, you can't try and fight alone. You need to have brothers who will stand behind you, that will keep reminding you of who you really are. And more importantly, you need to have the God of the universe in you. If you don't, that's what I'm talking about. If you're hearing this and you're going, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. I'm talking about the moment that you receive Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, because you're made of three parts. You have a body and a soul and a spirit. Well, what the Bible teaches is the moment that you truly believed and you repent of your sin, you ask Christ to come in, it's a done deal. He puts his promised Holy Spirit in your spirit, and now that is your one true identity. No matter what, no one's ever going to rob that from you. And the moment that happens, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's game on against the enemy. There's nothing that he can ever do or say that can take you out. So let's, I just kind of want to pray for us right now, whether you're a new believer, whether you've been a believer for a long time, maybe you've kind of gotten in your comfort zone. Maybe you don't feel dangerous anymore. Maybe you feel safe and tame and you're going, man, I want that fire in the belly that I once had. I want to be able to, you know, swing the sword at this, we'll talk about the sword of the spirit. I want to do battle for my family, for others. So just let me kind of, I want to do it like a, almost like a dangerous prayer in a way over you. So if, you know, if you're driving right now, you know, keep your eyes open, you know, and if you're listening alone, I just want you to lean in. because this one is coming from your spirit out, reminding you who you really are and that you do have what it takes in Him. Father, I know there's an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. He stalks me like a lion. He growls in my thoughts. He circles my weakness, and he waits for me to flinch. But I will not run, because there is only one lion, and that's the one that I bow to, and that is the Lion of Judah. Jesus, you are my King, my defender, my victory. Teach me to fight with truth, to stand when others fold, and to speak when silence feels safer. Make me bold in the face of fear, calm in the face of chaos, dangerous in the hands of God. And I am not going to back down, not today and not ever. I pray this over all the men listening. They will pick up their sword and begin to swing again to get back in the game and understand that Christ is in them and they have everything they will ever need in you, Jesus. Guys, if this episode has stirred something within you, don't just nod, nod your head and kind of scroll on. I want you to stop. I want you to take this podcast and maybe listen to it again. Find the encouragement. Find the nugget that God is saying to you inside of this. You know, take a step forward. Take ground. Don't go backwards. Become the kind of man who fights back. And I just want to finish up by saying, guys, I hope you're finding encouragement. So make sure to subscribe. You know, give us a like and share this podcast with another man in the fight. Chances are he needs it as much as you did too. And if you want to walk with us, you want to partner with us, you want to help push this mission further, just go to unleash.men. You can find any information on coaching or events or donate to this ministry. It'll be in the drop-down tabs. But we really want to get you involved. We want you to catch the vision of what we're trying to do, and you go do the same thing with your family, with the guys that you hang with your church and your community. You were made for more than survival. You, my friend, were made to rise. And remember, we are the resistance.